Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'll do a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38 through 41. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot, and see pottage for the sons of the prophets." Some of you are saying, "King James, I don't like that. I'm going to clean it up in a bit." And one of them went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass that as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Bring meal." And he took the meal and cast it into the pot. And he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. I'll clean up the King James and explain it and preach a little bit on that. Right. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help us, that you speak to us, that you open our minds and give us understanding and open our hearts, that we would want to follow God, that we would want to forsake sin, that we would have a looking for and a hope for the return of Jesus Christ. And again, we talked about the flood, especially this time of disaster, that we know your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I said dearth. It was a famine. For the last few years, I guess, in Texas, I don't live in Texas, for the last few years, decade, whatever, in Texas, they had a drought. Y'all know about California. They got a drought, and they got bad politics out there, and people that have been farmers, you know, grandpa was a farmer and whatever, and the next thing they know, they're working in a warehouse, you know, pushing a dollar, trying to make a buck, because the farm's gone. It could be, could get to that point where we actually feel it. I mean, you're going to pay higher prices, but anything you want to eat, you can go to Winn-Dixie or wherever, to Royal Albertsons and get whatever you want. But again, the price goes up. In certain countries, the price goes up and the income doesn't, and they actually do suffer. They eat mostly, most of the time. I've been to Haiti a bunch. You've been to Africa. When the price of corn goes up because we're putting it in our gas tank, we're putting food in our gas tank. Think about that. Strange. Everybody says, "Well, forget beans and potatoes. Let me go grow corn and they make more money." But the people in the third world countries, the price of corn has tripled. They stop eating corn. It could come. I know when we get to the book of Revelation, there's going to be some tribulation, some time of struggle, and I'm sure there's going to be famine then. We don't really know that anymore. We've got, you know, the guy can pick a bean or something hanging off a tree in Africa and it'd be here 3 days later, you know, on the shelf. But throughout history, that's true. And let me make a point. Often we forget. We read the Bible and we say it says this and it says that, and we look and we have a cell phone and got all kind of things, and like I said, they grow something, iceberg lettuce over there in Seattle, and it's on the shelf 3 days later over here. We forget. I think that what we have is nice and great, and you know, we have a roof on our head and fans and air conditioning, and that's great. we forget that for the most of the time of humanity, it ain't been so. Everybody can go talk to Grandma and I'll tell you about how when there was no air conditioning.
Amen.
Everybody can tell you. You go ask them. Sweat all day long.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, we first 10, 12 years of my life, we lived in a big cinder block house with no air conditioning. Cinder block. And not no 9-foot ceilings either. It was rough. I would go to bed, there was a little bitty fan that was pointed at my bed, and I'd sweat. Oh, my, I know about it. But we forget in the 20th century. And there's a lot I could talk about. I could talk about the 10 virgins. They were looking and waiting for the return of the Lord, but they all slumbered and slept. If you want to go to sleep looking for God, this is a good time to do it in. But it says that there was a famine. And Elisha the prophet, the one that was around during that time, apparently they taught some of the younger guys, they had a school for ministry or whatever the case, but they had the sons of the prophets. And nowadays, you know, we go to work or we go to school or whatever and it's time for lunch. I guess if you got a school, you got a cafeteria, but if it's time for lunch, well, let's go Burger King, you know, get in the truck and go, right? Mm-hmm. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, you got to feed them. You may have seen this in Africa. When I was in Haiti, they would have a convention or a revival or something like that. Go on however many nights you want, great. But the preacher's wife and everybody she could find was making food while the preaching was going on. That's good. We have dinner on the grounds, but that's just because we want to do it. In Haiti, in those countries, you have to, because if you don't feed them, they ain't coming to your revival. So, these guys, these young guys, they were in school or whatever, Elisha was teaching them or whatever the case. Time to eat, and they said, well, you know, set on the great pot. It's King James. Take the big pot and set it on the stove. We jumble the words around, and set on the great pot makes perfect sense. Take a big pot, we're going to make some beans, put a little bit, didn't have ham back then, I guess they were Jews, but let's make a pot of beans, right? And they were doing that, and one guy says, I'm going to go help, and I'm going to go out into the field, and you know, you can pick certain things off the tree and eat, obviously pecans, but you can go, sometimes you'll find some wild onions, and you can pick that, and you wash that, and it's perfectly good to eat, right? Sometimes. And he found something, he didn't know what it was, and he says, looks good to me. So he pulled out his shirt and he had a whole bunch of them, whatever the case, and he brought them and he kind of cut them up a little bit and threw them in the pot so make sure we have enough to eat. And it finished cooking and everybody got a bowl and sat down and says, That's in the King James, right? Oh, man of God, there is death in the pot. I mean, it didn't just taste bad. They knew it was poison, right? Well, what are we going to do? We worked all day trying to cook this pot of beans. Man, I guess we could throw it out and go try again. Or, you know, maybe somebody would go and knock on somebody's door and get some bread or something. You know, I guess we can feed these guys, but whole pot's ruined. And if we eat it, it poisoned. But the prophet said, bring meal. What's meal? You know what cornmeal is? Meal. It's corn that's been ground up and it's ready to make bread. So meal is something that's ready to make bread. Nowadays we don't use the term meal except I can think of cornmeal sometimes, I guess. I can't think of nothing else. But any kind of flour that you have that you want to make bread from, that's meal. He said, take a handful of cornmeal and throw it in a pot, stir it in, and now put that back in everybody's bowl. And it says that there was no harm, no more poison in the pot. Okay, fine. If you know anything about my preaching, I'm going to go, it's from the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you Jesus Christ in the Old. That's what I do. That's called the study of types, or typology. There's always a symbol, probably, in the Old Testament that you could learn from. The wild vine that poisoned whatever food they had, you can say that that's false doctrine. Now, I'm very happy to report that you will not hear false doctrine at this church. I can vouch for Brother Kevin. There are other churches we can vouch for that we're going to teach the truth, and we're not going to teach any false doctrine. Well, what's false doctrine? Go home and turn on the TV to that religious channel, and all day long they'll be teaching false doctrine. And I get some people upset when you tell them that their favorite preacher they've been listening to for 30 years is false and is lying and is just trying to get in your wallet. Funny thing, when you go to Africa, you gotta take all your money with you because you don't bring them back. The Bible has a word for those that preach for money. Now, the bishop may have a check for me, and that's great, and probably he takes a little bit, and probably every church up and down, was it 190, I believe? Every church up and down 190, they pay their pastor. The laborer is worthy of his hire. He was hired to preach, and he's worthy of it. I can complain about Joel Osteen. Maybe he's making too much, but in normal circumstances, if you get a job, and I get a job making $15 an hour, and I guess I'm going to live, and you get a job making $25, and you think, I don't know if I'm worth that much. If they were stupid enough to hire you at $25, then you're worth it. If it turns out that they were stupid and hired you because you didn't know what you're doing, they knock you down, or they get rid of you and find somebody they can. Whatever you're hired at, don't think it's too much. If you hired and it's too little, then try to get a better one. The laborer is worthy of his hire. But those that preach just for money, Jesus said it was a hireling. It's a lot of stuff you can talk about. King David, we know when he was not king, he was a little shepherd boy. When he went to do Goliath in, had that sling and whatever he said. When he was testifying, he says there was a lion that came and stole a sheep. And there was a bear that came and stole another sheep. And we lost those two sheep. But I got a lion's head and I got a bear's head.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
He risked his life. A hireling says, I just want your money. At no risk to myself. There's so much false doctrine. You guys have no idea how thankful you should be that it ain't here.
Amen.
Again, just turn on the TV. Anything you can come up with, they've already come up with it, and they're talking about it. But the answer to false doctrine is meal or flour. Kind of jumble up my sermon a little bit, but in John chapter 6, verse 33 through 35, you don't got to turn there unless you want to. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Mm-hmm. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. You got meal, which can turn into bread, and he says, I'm the bread of life. You can talk about when they came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness 40 years. Every morning they got out, kind of rubbed the sleep out of their eyes, went outside the tent and says, oh, look, food. Right there.
Yeah.
They didn't have to work for it. God rained it out of the sky. And they lived, they survived every day food from heaven. Jesus says, for the bread of God is he, not what, but he which cometh down from heaven. Christ. Jesus Christ is our food. There's a lot you can say. There's also the other part you can say that we don't like to hear, that you have to eat him. You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And,
yes.
You know, okay, fine, we're going to have a little ceremony, you know. Read what Paul said, and, you know, when he was betrayed and he gave this to me. And it's a nice ceremony, but he gave his life.
Yes, he did.
He shed his blood. He said, if any man come to me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross, and follow me. We know that the cross was the instrument of his death. But he says, you want to be a Christian, want to come after me, you got to take up your own instrument of death. You have to die. Not on physical cross, nailed, but to your desires and your ways of doing things and your choice of where you should go to church and your choice of what you should do with your life, you have to die and say, but Lord, what do you want? I mean, I know the answer's in here somewhere. Will you please show me? Pastor, will you help me find out God's will for my life?
Amen.
You should go to the Word. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof, according to the Word. You know, before I became a Christian, I did things shouldn't do. I could list them, but everybody knows what all those things were. But he changed me. And I knew that moment. I've told this before, but when I got saved, I knew that I was delivered, set free from the. And I knew that I had nothing in the bar to go back for.
Amen.
I was delivered instantly.
Yes. Yes.
I was set free instantly.
Thank God.
But some things I had to learn. I had to read, and I had to go to Sunday school or whatever the case and learn. But then there are other things that as I learn, as I gain wisdom, what have you, then I stop doing those things too. Again, I've jumbled my sermon up, but let's just read a couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And he's talking about people during his time. So also these false teachers resist the truth. They're men of corrupted minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Well, I just described Kenneth Copeland. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 13. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal of Beelzebub and caused my people Israel to err. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, I want to say. I believe that was it. But when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and fire came out of heaven and proved that the Lord, He is God. Choose this day who you'll serve. You're going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil? Well, there are people that are telling you in very nice suits, $1,000 suits and $10,000 watch and whatever, give your money to me, I've got some other message that, well, I'm going to read a verse here, but I'm not going to tell you you have to change. I'm not going to tell you you have to stop doing that stuff. All you got to do is sit on that couch and don't be doing that and send in your money. And it causes God's people to err or make mistakes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, that Jesus himself said this, there are false Christs that shall arise. He's Jesus Christ. There are false Christs and false prophets that shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So if there were no false teachers, why did he say this? And if false teaching, false gospel, gospel means good news.
Yes.
If it's false good news, it's bad news. Right?
Yeah.
Apparently Jesus thought it was a big deal. Or else he wouldn't have taken up this verse in the Bible to say it. Jude chapter 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, turn on the TV, and honestly, if you sit there with your Bible in your hand, and not just shaking his head and say, yes, my favorite teacher, but wait, he said that. That's wrong, because the book says different, right? The Bereans. Paul got to the town of Berea, I guess it was, and Paul preached, and a lot of people came to God, and they said, that's great. Fantastic, Paul. But look, let me see that book you're reading now. I want to see it for myself. Let's do it the other way. Who didn't bring a Bible today? See? You got one at home, don't you?
Got three of them.
Well, there you go. You got two hands, and see, you can read three at once. And one on your phone, and one of them, really?
Yeah.
Read it. If you don't understand it, that's what pastors are for. But wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. You have to believe it. He that comes to God must first believe that he is.
Yeah.
Gotta believe he is. He probably ain't up there, or this is just a joke. They make me come because it's Sunday. You don't have nothing. But he is. And he's a rewarder of those that take time to seek him.
Amen.
Hey. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.